This is Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba. African-American disco legend Sylvester wasn't born in San Francisco, but he came into his own as an artist in the city in the 1970s. He was a trailblazer both musically and culturally, with his high, clear falsetto and unapologetic presence as a fabulous gay black artist. He became known as the Queen of Disco. The story of his life and music are now being brought to the stage in Mighty Real, a fabulous Sylvester musical, currently running at the Brava Theater in San Francisco. Co-creators Anthony Wayne and Kendrell Bowman came by the studio and spoke to KALW's Jen Chien about sequins, platform heels, and the resilient spirit of the man behind the disco ball.
So for me, I grew up in San Francisco, and I've been around gay culture almost all my life, and so I feel like I have to love Sylvester. Mm-hmm. What about for you? What does Sylvester mean to you, and how did you find out about him? Let's start with you, Anthony.
Well, Sylvester was the quintessential pioneer. He went against the grain to be who he was regardless of any situation, and there was a documentary on TV1, Unsung. They did a special about his life, and I saw it, and I was like, wow, this man's drive to be who he was, wanted to be regardless of any situation, was incredible. And it inspired me to say, you know what, I think everybody needs to hear this story.
Kendrell, what does Sylvester mean to you?
Sylvester, he was a visionary, and he's a trailblazer long before you have people like RuPaul, Adam Lambert, that's out now. But back then in the 70s, you have this 6 foot tall African American that's riding around San Francisco in mopeds and fur, with a long fur and makeup on.
Just being himself
and living in his truth. And that's the big thing for me. Anyone that's living in their truth and not afraid to just be themselves, I respect. And at that time, I know it was harder than, you know, it is now.
There weren't really role models for him. He was his own role model.
He just woke up and said, this is it. Accept it or reject it.
Yeah. He wanted the world to mold to him rather than the other way around.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And it takes a lot of strength to do that. And the great thing is, you know, Sylvester's story is not just a story for disco or in the 70s back then. It's a universal story, not just for African Americans, but just for anyone who wants to strive to be whatever they want to be. And that's what I think with even our show that we made, that a lot of people identify with, all age range and demographics. Everyone just wants to be true to themselves. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to be seen, loved, and heard. That's what I say. And he was definitely that.
Well, of course, San Francisco, Sylvester has a special place in the heart of San Franciscans. What kind of response did the audience give you here as opposed to New York or anywhere else that you may have performed? Is there a difference performing kind of where he was?
Well, absolutely.
For you?
Yes. I mean, even before the show started, you could just hear that everybody was ready. And I think the thing about it, they're ready to be taken on the journey. You know, I think a lot of people know of Sylvester and knew him personally to bring people back to that time, you know, to connect with San Francisco audiences. I think it really has a strong bond.
Have you noticed, Kendrell, anything special about how the show plays here in San Francisco?
It's not only in the theater, it's even walking down the street. We have these Sylvester jackets. And, oh my Lord, we can't even walk to the corner to go get like a donut or something. Everyone has a story of Sylvester. I feel like he's the Beyonce of that generation of San Francisco, you know? Everyone has a story. Everyone knew him. And the great thing about performing here in San Francisco, it's like, you know, we're performing for his family and friends. The audience here is amazing. They come in all, you know, their sequins and their boas and their fans.
Right, fans.
And, you know, so it's like a disco party. This is not a stereotypical theater setting show how we made it. We made you, right when you come into the door, you feel like you've been transported into a disco club.
as you spoke of, the part of the conceit of the show is that we're in a club and that it's one last concert where Sylvester can be mighty real one more time and share his music and story with the audience. Now, Anthony, you start the show with a kind of conjuring of Sylvester's spirit, like an incantation almost of bringing him to the audience. What do you do for yourself to bring Sylvester through you or to get into that character?
I listen to his music. I have to get kind of quiet before. But then I start to warm up, of course.
You mean vocally?
Vocally, and, yes. I have moments where I go around to the cast and I speak to everybody and I kind of just, you know, feel their energy and like they feed me kind of in that way. I'll listen to the overture and I'll hear it starting. And
now, you say overture, I think of, you know, kind of strings or orchestra, but it's a disco overture,
yes.
Right?
It's a whole disco overture. But and you hear the song, you hear the music, and you just kind of get into the world. And then Sylvester speaks before he comes out. And, you know, I just start to feel everybody's energy from the audience. And I just try to do what I can to bring the essence of who he is through me.
I'm speaking with Anthony Wayne and Kendrell Bowman, co-creators of Mighty Real, a fabulous Sylvester musical. How is performing this role different from other types of musical theater roles?
I'm used to being in the ensemble. And so now being in the front is like, you know, much more responsibility, much more time and much more pressure, you know, especially singing and acting at the same time for such a long time, because Sylvester doesn't really leave the stage for about an hour and a half. But it's different than any other show, because I've done some roles before, like Richie in A Chorus Line. But this one is much more impactful because of the meaning that it has to people. You know, you're portraying someone real. And so you have to really be honest. And I think that's what I consistently find myself working on. I've been so many
places. We spoke earlier about this being your first show that you've put together on your own. For both of you, was that scary? Did you have doubts about stepping out to make this thing?
No, I didn't have any doubts. I don't know what to say. I don't want to lie, but I had doubts when it comes to producing a show. That's a whole different beast. You know, we're producing shows. It costs a lot of money to do these things. And we had the support of the community and Sylvester's fans and, you know, his family. But we took our time. It's not like we just threw this together. It was a lot of research of speaking to his friends, his family, reading articles, everything in from the costume designing, everything in the show. We tried to recreate to keep to the truth to Sylvester. It's not like we're making up just what we thought of it. We're using stories from his family that no one's heard of before. We're using all of his music in the show. So we don't want anyone to be like, that's not what happened. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, Kendrell did the costumes for the show as well.
Yeah,
and
they're
so
beautiful.
He stays very, very true to what it looked like. We were even able to go to the archive.
Here in San Francisco.
Hugh archive here and see the actual costumes. So some of the costumes that he made were replicas of, you know, silhouettes of what he actually wore, which was really kind of cool. So we really bring that forward.
Let's talk a little bit about the costumes. Do you have a favorite, Kendrell, of the costumes that you designed for this show?
What's the favorite? Everyone loves the fur in the beginning. It's a long, fabulous, long fur cape. And, you know, I like on the posters that you see the white tuxedo because, you know, it's very clean, but, you know, it has a pop of color with the flower, and then also he has these big red heels on. When you come to the show, you see a lot of sequins, a lot of fur.
So Sylvester was out and proud when racism and homophobia were at an even higher pitch than they are now. How does your own identity as a gay black man affect how you see yourself as an artist?
Well, for me, this is Kendrell. I identify a lot with Sylvester because I feel like he didn't like to be put into a box, and I'm the same way. I try to just live my life for me, and I don't feel like I have to dress a certain way or hang around in some type of crowds or political places. When you get caught up in all of this political stuff and feeling like you have to be some type of way, you may become successful at some point, but then you start to lose your identity of yourself, and it's hard to just be happy.
I definitely agree with what he says. I feel like being a young African-American man in this day and age, you have to have a strong sense of individuality. Paying attention to Sylvester's story, it inspired me because I feel it's all an individual journey of you understanding yourself. And I think we're all in that journey and finding the strength in knowing that the choices that you make as a person is enough.